That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. Star 99.9 at Santa and Raven. If you see a mom pushing a stroller and you ignore her and shut the door in her face instead of holding it for her.
Oh, that's terrible. Nice.
That's all I need to know about you.
You know, I have to tell you, I was at the store just a few days ago and I was getting my stuff in my car and I was taking my stuff out of my cart at the back of the car and there was an elderly woman doing the same thing next to me. And when she was done with her cart, I was, you know, getting ready to walk away. And I said, ma'am, can I take that for you? She seemed so shocked. That I was ready to do it. She was so nice. I thought she was going to hug me.
Because people
I mean, a high five is in order, maybe. I mean, it's just a cart, but she wanted to hug me, I think.
Maybe I'm extra, but I'm telling you, it's like that common courtesy has disappeared a lot, and it's kind of sad. And I've realized it now, obviously, with a newborn, because I'm struggling with that bucket. It's, you know, it's a learning curve again.
Sure.
And going in the stroller. And it's like you're pretending like you don't see me.
Right.
Right. It's like I'm pushing the equivalent of basically an RV. I, like, take up 7 feet. Like, there's no way.
I think you're discounting
me.
The advantage of wheels. I mean, it's not like you're doing a strongman competition pulling a tractor trailer with your teeth. But I get what you're saying. I mean, you're overloaded. You've got a lot going on. Somebody could give you a hand. It would be good.
I just don't understand. And you want, it's always older men. Always older men. And I would think, is the shocking part about it. Moms always help each other out every single time.
So the older men are not paying attention? Because I would think that the old school, the old generation, basically, has got the manners. I mean, that's where I got mine, grandma and mom.
Yeah, I know. It's boggling my mind lately. The younger, I should say the millennials.
Right.
Not them either. It's older men every single time.
Well,
they're also the ones that park in the parking spot for infants.
Well,
yes, you know, we don't do that.
You know my passion for the people in the stroller business.
Good for us.
I've got one for you here. If you can't finish more than 24 inches of your 6-foot sub that you ordered for your Super Bowl party, that's all I need to know about you. It's game time, people, all right? Start to get your stuff ready to go for next week. And if that means stretching out your stomach, put in the work now.
You need 2 feet of that 6-footer.
There's nothing sadder than having 4 feet left of your 6-foot sub. Where are your friends?
Well, it's true.
Where are your friends?
I'll just eat this over the span of 3 days.
Where are your friends?
If the way you serve dinner to your CEO friends is by killing a goat with a laser gun, that's all I need to know about you.
What?
What's a laser gun?
I don't know.
But who needs to kill a goat? Goats are nice.
Are they
Mark Zuckerberg
it?
Apparently did this.
What? Kill a goat with a laser?
For his buddy Jack Dorsey, who's the CEO of Twitter.
Oh, that's it.
No
dude.
Joke.
No.
I'm not joking.
No. Lasers. I'm going to need to see some sort of evidence of that, and if that's the case, I quit Facebook today. You're a goat killer with lasers?
Laser beams?
That doesn't seem nice.
He kills it with a laser gun and then the knife. Then they send it to the butcher. That's a legit quote from Jack Dorsey.
This took a real dark turn.
Where do they find that goat?
I don't question that behavior from the guy who runs Twitter, but Zuckerberg, you got a public face, all right?
What?
I mean, put on a smile for the rest of the world. That's disgusting.
That was the most insane thing I've seen today.
I don't have anything to say right now. All right, call us 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, are you ready for some true sadness this morning?
Thanks. Start my Friday off like that. What do you want?
Star 99.9. Conversation hearts. You know those gross little tiny candies that look like chalk, but they've got love things on them? They're in the shape of hearts.
Be mine. I love you. That kind of thing. They've even updated the messages over the last few years, I think, or whatever.
Yep. Like XOXO, you rock.
Hashtag.
LOL. Yeah. Dare ya to do what? But all right. Cool. Anyway.
It's always make out on Valentine's Day when it's on a heart. You didn't know that?
Do you know for the second consecutive year, conversation hearts last year in 2018 were the number one selling candy in the country?
It's unbelievable to me, right? Some things have staying power. Pac-Man, Valentine's Day hearts.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Slap bracelets? No, maybe not slap bracelets.
Well, we keep holding out hope. What's the deal? They're not going to be available?
No. Here's what happened. So if you, I mean, I don't know if anybody actually eats them. You give these boxes, but you don't actually eat them because they're gross and disgusting.
It's a quick, cheap grab.
Yeah. The company that owned them, Necco, abruptly went out of business, right?
Sad.
Yeah. And it got sold at a bankruptcy auction to a company called Spangler back in September.
I mean, that could be the slap bracelet company. Bought them, frankly, with a name like
Spangler.
That.
Spangler sounds
like a character on a 70s sitcom. All right, so Spangler comes in and buys them. Oh, I'm Spangler.
Right. but it's too late to start production on the hearts. They need to make...
They didn't have the machinery ready?
No. Do you know how many they make a year?
I don't know. Tell me.
8 billion.
Wow.
8 billion chalk hearts.
How many are in a bag, though? I mean, there's got to be at least a billion in a bag, right? No. So that's like 8 bags. All right. So, I mean, get on it. Have the machines ready, Spangler. Spangler, what happened? Oh.
They make 8 billion a year, and they are all sold in full supply the 6 weeks leading up to Valentine's Day.
That's unbelievable to me.
You would think that before you bought that company at auction, you would have figured it out how to work the machine.
Did a little bit of research, got on the Google, was like, are we going to be able to do this? What is the demand? Can we meet it? Right. Yeah. That would have been a good thing. So, I mean, are they dead? Are they not coming back?
They say they're going to be back for next year.
Oh.
But for this year, I guess that's it. But I did some research to find out America's favorite Valentine's Day candy in each state.
Okay.
Guess what Connecticut's is?
Chocolate bunnies. Hollow chocolate bunnies? No, it's Valentine's Day. Hollow chocolate hearts. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm getting my holidays confused. Yes.
That's Easter.
Right.
Right.
All right.
Yeah. No, it's the heart-shaped chocolate box.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, I'm pretty close. So, with the individual chocolates inside.
Right.
You know, I just wonder whether or not Spangler is going to be able to bring this back, even with his jean jacket, because, I mean, other candies have gone off the market for a minute. When they come back, it's never the same. Whatchamacallits? Remember when Whatchamacallits were all that everybody wanted?
Nope.
See?
Yep.
That's because you're 4 years, 6 years, whatever years younger than me than you are.
Oh, they right? changed it now.
Fiddle Faddle. You can only now find it in strange stores everywhere.
Never heard of it.
Along with Joke Cola. Hostess Cupcakes. They went away, and when they came back, man, they were never the same.
That's true.
They were never the same.
I feel like we're never going to get these ugly little gross chalk things back.
All by myself.
We're done here.
Anymore.
Oh my God, could you chew any louder?
Did you watch this without me?
Seriously, 6 more inches and it's in the sink.
Why do you do this? You squeeze from the bottom.
What do you want to get for dinner?
Let us solve your problems. Star 99.9 Honda of Westport Couples Court.
Mary Alice and Jim joining us together this morning. Mary Alice, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, my husband has been ordering for me at restaurants ever since we first met. It's been 27 years.
Why?
What's that?
Why? Why does he order for you?
Cut right to the chase, right?
That's my question. You know, I'm perfectly capable of ordering my own meal, but he says, nope, absolutely not.
Jim, why are you ordering for your wife?
Do you vote for her, too? Good job, Jim.
Look, this is a cultural thing. My dad did this for my mom. You know, I can remember watching a James Bond movie, and Sean Connery, he takes the menu out of the lady's hand. He says, we'll both have Chateaubriand. And it's just elegant. It's polite. She doesn't object when I hold the door, do you? It's gentlemanly.
You forgot the cracked lobster. James Bond always gets the cracked lobster. It's always more food than you need for two people, always.
And they don't eat it anyway.
That's right.
It makes me feel like I'm 3 years old, and I just think it's a barbaric, outdated custom.
Barbaric? When I grew up, my dad ordered for mom, God rest his soul, and it was a gentlemanly thing to do, and I used to just look, and there's my dad, this strong man, and he just knew what she wanted to eat, and it just seemed so right.
I think I'm going to do this to my husband. Yeah. You have to pick what I want to eat, and if you're wrong, I'm going to be mad about it all week. All right, guys, what we do is we ask our audience what they think. They may agree with you, Jim, that it's a sign of chivalry, and to you it's important. And Mary Alice, what's the big deal? If it makes him feel good, then let him do his thing. But they may see your side too, Mary Alice. It's outdated, and you feel uncomfortable, and at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. Do you guys both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yeah, sure.
So few times that I feel like I have to say nothing. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Honda of Westport Couples Court on Star 99.9.
We're in the Honda of Westport Couples Court. Mary Alice is complaining that her husband Jim constantly orders for her when they go out to eat.
Sure.
He says, like, it's a sign of chivalry. His father did it for his mother. Mm-hmm. He wants to do the same thing. She's like, it's barbaric. Is she overreacting if it really means so much to him? Like, what's the big deal?
Well, it sounded like she liked it, thought it was charming when they first started dating. But that was 28 years ago, 27 years ago, like you said. So at this point now, I mean, she's got so many adjustments. Just get out of the way. Let me do my thing.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
It's kind of like a middle ground, you know? It's dependent on what that couple wants. You know, if the wife or, you know, the other partner that is going to be ordered for likes that, then that's what they should do. But it should always be a discussion. You know, I agree that it's definitely chivalrous. Personally, I would love it if somebody ordered my dinner for me. I think it's very romantic. But if someone doesn't like it that way, I also agree that it's outdated.
Hold on. Let's see how we do here right now. I'm going to order for you right now, and you tell me whether or not I hit the mark.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to be having the strip steak medium with the potatoes and the fresh veggies. And he'll be having
a number seven.
No.
Oh.
I'm going to do his order. Yeah. I'm getting in the way of it.
All right.
He's going to have the lamb skewered. Mm-hmm. It will be prepared medium, not well. Not well, but I still want to see a little bit of pink up there with the fresh veggies and a spritzer.
Or would you rather have a number seven supersized?
Oh, both are amazing. I'd try anything.
Have a great morning.
We want to hear what you think. Call us at 1-800-330-9999. Would you be offended if your husband ordered your dinner for you when you went out to restaurants? Jim tries to be a gentleman to his wife, Mary Alice, and he always orders for her when they go out to restaurants. Mm. He says that he always saw his father do this for his mother, and he thinks that it's sweet and wants to do it for her. One problem. Mary Alice can't stand it. He's been doing it for 27 years.
Yeah, I mean, you would think over all this time, she must have mentioned it to him several times because they're somewhat playful about it. Just take a hint, man. I mean, back off it. Let her do her own thing, especially with all her modifications to the menu.
Is she really overreacting? If it makes him happy, then she just let him do it? Honda of Westport, Couples Court on Star 99.9, 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
Would be honored to have my husband order for me. I think too many times nowadays women want to be so independent that they don't just stop and say, wow, you know, this is a real gentleman who can order my meals for me.
All right, let me try for you right now. This is my thing this morning. How about a half of rack of ribs for her?
Mm-hmm.
She'll have the fresh garden salad and a El Presidente margarita. How's that?
Well, personally, I'm a vegetarian, so my husband would know better than
right. You failed, basically what she's saying.
Thank you. Have a great morning. Thanks for the call. Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. I say pick your battles. There are other ways to be chivalrous.
I agree. I think that if this really bothers her... Then
thanks for the call. Have a great morning.
Just stop. If this really bothers her, then why does he keep doing it? I mean, if he wants to be chivalrous, he wants her to appreciate it. And if she's not appreciating it, isn't that basically a waste of time then?
I wanted to order for her, too. I'm sorry I hung up on her so quick. Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
We're on the husband's side. Yes, we're definitely on the husband's side. Because she cooks his dinner 5 nights a week. Say she's cooking his dinner 5 nights a week. She's telling him what he's eating. She's preparing. She's pretty much ordering his dinner, say, 5 nights a week. So if he's in a restaurant and ordering for her, he's doing no different than what she's doing.
That's a very interesting point. Thank you for the call.
When my husband can get into a car and go to a grocery store and come get meals and then get it in the oven, get it cooked, and put it on a table, then he can decide what I eat.
Oh, no, he already decided. It's over. Oh. It's over. He already decided. What if he picked up takeout? Already decided. Same thing.
It's nuts.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Mary Alice, our audience agreed with you. Jim, your heart may be in the right place, but stop it. It's bothersome to her and she doesn't like it, just stop ordering for her.
Okay, just kick me under the table if I do it out of habit then. I'm sorry.
Aw, sweetie, I love you, but we have to move on from that, okay?
Okay. All right. I promise I'll be a little more considerate.
Okay.
All right. If anybody else has an issue, send us an email to couplescore@star999.com. Whenever something happens on the Honda of Westport Couples Court and we don't know the answer and how to respond to it, there's only one person we ask, Dr. Laura Berman. You can hear her here weeknights Uncovered with Dr. Laura Berman. This guy keeps ordering for his wife when they go out to restaurants.
Oh, my gosh.
He says it's chivalry.
Yeah.
He says that, his father had passed away and he grew up watching his dad order from his mom and he always thought it was so romantic and wanted to do it for his wife.
In James Bond movies.
Yep.
That's what he cited for his lead on this one.
And, you know, the audience was kind of torn because part of it is like, it is sweet. But she was like, I feel like I'm a child because he's ordering for me. What do you think about this?
Well, look, forced chivalry isn't exactly chivalrous. The intention of chivalry is to be of service, to create a safe holding and support for your beloved, right? And if she's saying this doesn't feel good to me, this isn't a kind of chivalry I enjoy, then he's kind of losing the point. And so I agree that, look, you know, if there's nothing wrong, if he enjoys that and she understands his intention and enjoys it as well, then that's great. I love when my husband's chivalrous, but there's no way in hell I would let him order for me because I'm too particular. I'd never order anything as it is on the menu.
Right.
You know, he
right.
would have to say no onions, dressing, you know, he'd have to like do the whole, can I have the main course but without the meat, you know, like that kind of thing, which wouldn't work. So this really isn't about her. This is about his father.
Can I quiz you guys real quick and you just tell me whether this is chivalrous or not?
Okay.
All right. So you open the door.
Chivalrous.
All right. Good. All right. Pick up the check.
Yeah.
All right. You dive on.
Please do.
You dive on a grenade.
Yeah.
You dive on a grenade in the foxhole.
Better than me. Yeah.
All right. And if a knight shows up and wants to take your lady away, you go to the jousting match.
Unless he's really hot. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. Exactly. I mean, everybody's waiting for a knight.
Agreed.
I knew the knight was going to be questionable.
Yeah.
Unless you already have the knight.
If a guy wanted to be chivalrous and respectful, what's one thing every guy should be doing for his lady?
Open the door. Pull out her chair. Stand up a little bit when you're sitting at a table with her and she gets up to go to the bathroom.
You know,
let her walk on the inside when you're walking on the street, you know, especially if it's raining or like there are these gentlemen kind of simple, respectful things that you can do that aren't taking her power away or limiting her choices, but are just letting her know that you cherish her and that you're aware of her and that you respect her.
I feel so good. I do like 4 out of 5 of those things. I mean, it almost makes up for the jousting.
Right.
Almost.
It's true.
I really want to
do such
that.
A difference. It makes such a difference in today's world because so few men do it. I mean, even when I 16, 17 years ago when I was dating before my husband, there were very few guys that just naturally did that. And I remember it really struck me when he so naturally did.
Always good advice, Dr. Laura Berman. If you have a question for her, you can call her at 855-5-UNCOVER. I know you got a crazy busy morning, but joining us this morning on Star 99.9, it's Dr. Zilberman from Danbury Hospital, Western Connecticut Health Network, Star 99.9, it's Anna and Raven. We've been talking about baby brain.
Real thing or not? Thank you for joining us, doctor.
Yes, yes. How are you?
You're bouncing back and forth. Huh, doc? You're busy.
It's busy. When you're a doctor, you're busy.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm a little late. I was seeing patients.
Quite all right.
We're going to just take 2 minutes of your time because I got to know something. Is baby brain a real thing? Because I'm losing my mind.
Right. Anna forgets everything around here. She's usually extremely diligent, doc. Now, she's a buffoon.
It's true.
Oh, you know, it's a very controversial topic. We know there are changes that happen during the pregnancy to kidney system, to cardiovascular system, but also to neurological systems. Very controversial. I know there's a study that came out recently that was a meta-analysis, means they looked at multiple other studies that looked at cognitive function, and they determined that there may be some changes in cognitive function during the pregnancy, but it's a very controversial topic. Most women are able to have normal functioning capacity during the pregnancy and able to work and function and take care of the kids and families.
So what the doctor is saying is that it has been risen. This topic has been risen before, and then immediately those men were stoned to death for saying it out loud. They were stoned to death.
No, it's true. Dr. Zilberman, things that I've never done before. I leave my phone in the refrigerator. I find the remote controls in the sink. Like, things that I don't understand how I'm doing them, I just keep doing. And all I want to know is, will my brain ever go back to normal?
Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. But, you know, as we are busy with appointments and our lives, you know, it's not unusual to forget things. Sometimes I forget things, but...
Right. Is your remote control in your sink right now, right? Sir? Let's get that thing located for my friend, the doctor.
So things that people do forget occasionally, things in non-pregnant. But I think most women who are pregnant are able to function normally.
Certainly,
area of controversy, how does the brain affect the cognitive function for the woman? There is actually some data also in women who have complications of pregnancy, like preeclampsia. There may be alterations of cognitive function.
I mean, you could be the guinea pig. I nominate Anna Zapp right now to be a lab rat on this, doc.
Because you
had that condition.
But with Hayden, not with Dakota.
Oh, I thought you did.
Yeah. Well,
you know what? I mean, there's another part of the study with that control group, placebo group, and a Zap group.
Well, is it, doctor, do you get more dumb with each child?
I'm not sure about that. No. I'm not sure if there's any information about that.
He's like, I'm not putting my name on that.
Right. All right, Dr. Zilberman, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's Report Card on Star 99.9.
Checking in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he behaved as a husband this past week.
Hello.
You ready for your big weekend? It's like your Super Bowl.
I'm so excited.
Are you going to sleep in a van again? You're going to Sun and Wine Fest over at Mohegan Sun.
Yeah, a wine and food fest.
Yeah.
She'll correct you every time, yeah. Anna.
Close right. enough.
Right? She knows the full canon, trust me.
So last year, you were going to sleep in the van that Raven provided for you. Do you have better sleeping arrangements this year?
Sleeping in the back of the SUV this year.
Oh, good. He says that he gets it all pimped out for you and makes it really nice and comfortable. Is that true?
No, that's not true at all.
Oh, come on. True. I'm the one who told you about how to block the windows, get those seats laid out.
You made
how
it
can
sound
arrange
like...
the bodies. I sleep come in that on. Car all the time. I love naps in the car. You know it, Anna.
You made it sound like you basically put a mattress and a canopy in the back seat.
Well, with the van, I mean, you've got room for the air mattress and all that stuff. The SUV, it's a crossover. I'm not driving an Escalade, girlfriend.
No, all right.
Need that gas mileage.
So what's been going on?
Claims he prepped this for me just like he prepped for the storm. That was interesting.
Yeah, what happened?
He got it bad. That was... He got it really bad up here.
So tell me what happened. I know you guys were out of power forever.
I thought he was all prepared and tested the generator and made sure everything was working because we haven't used it in forever. Nope. So he was out there while the power was out and it was, you know, probably about 50 degrees in the house trying to start the generator, which wouldn't start. I had to go to the store and get starting fluid. He gets it started, turns on the football game, and sits there.
Yeah, I mean, well, the reception was fantastic.
Right. So we have this cord coming through the window, which anybody from outside could just open up the window. I'm like, are you going to find a way to stick something in this window so nobody can open it? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe, I mean, cold air is coming in. It's negative 10. It's blowing in the window.
Right.
And no, he's going to watch the game. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll just do it all myself.
Well, I mean, it should be pointed out that I didn't expect any random person to be walking down my street in the middle of an ice storm while it was -5 degrees out looking for a window to climb in. I mean, that's just me, but maybe you're right. Maybe that's exactly
like
what
that's
they're looking
the perfect
for.
Perfect timing. They're like, all these generators are outside and people are running cords through their window. Let's go open these windows.
Well, if somebody is outside, to be fair, -5 in the rain and ice storm, we should probably let them in because they're probably going to die if we don't let them in anyways.
No, that's like what murder stories start. Like, you don't let anybody come in, even on bad weather.
That's the thing I needed to work on was locking the window immediately, even though both her and I are in the house. And we would certainly know if somebody entered the home.
All right.
He just wanted to watch football. That's
yeah.
all it was.
Yeah.
He just wanted to watch football, and you light the candles, babe, and you walk around with the flashlights, and you find something to lock the window with.
Nonsense.
Yeah, just to watch football.
I got the TV up and running, the fridge taken care of. There was plenty of lights from the lights
because
that I brought in here.
Because you needed beer to watch football.
And by the way, half of America was watching football. It's not like I'm some terrible person because I'm watching the championship game with my team in it. That's not terrible.
All right.
That's not even fair.
Okay. Ultimately,
how'd you
Alicia,
like that heat?
You guys even went on a date night, didn't you?
After that.
Yeah, and then we had a great date. That's why he's not getting a D. I mean, we had a great date, but that was just terrible. Like, heat and light for your family first, not football.
It's true.
They all go together.
Your
and
football
my
wife
family
together?
Is New England. Okay.
Oh, all right.
So, all right. I'm a patriot.
It was 40 degrees in the room with the window with the cord coming through.
Well, you know
what?
You're
just sitting there watching football.
That's why we don't sit in that room. Okay. You just heard what it's really about. She said you're sitting there watching football, ignoring me.
Oh, okay. What kind of grade would you like to give Raven this week?
Getting a C.
C.
Oh, my God.
Next time, can I go on a date with you to Mohegan Sun instead? We'll have so much more fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you can close the window, Anna Zapp, right after I jump on out of it.
Who is the greatest of all time in your profession? Star 99.9. We want to hear from you. 1-800-330-9999. Whether or not you're a Patriots fan or not, you got to pretty much admit that Tom Brady has to be one of the greatest of all times. He's a GOAT.
I mean, it feels so good to hear a wife of a Giants fan say that. It just, it really does. It warms my heart.
I'm glad you're enjoying that.
It does.
But, you know, I think
can't wait till you get till number 6. Let's end that argument forever.
Okay.
Forever.
But seriously, I think every profession has to have a greatest of all time. Like,
sure.
There's somebody that you look up to who cares carries that profession beyond everybody else.
I think in radio for both of us at one point, if not still at this point, would be Howard Stern.
I mean, Howard Stern is why I'm here, to be honest with you, because sure. I interned for
him.
There we go.
Let me sweep up those names. She's going to start dropping.
No, but I'm just
saying.
When
I interned at K-Rock.
I never would have walked in this door. They never would have hired me if I didn't have Howard Stern name on my resume.
Well,
no way.
Thank him for that. And I actually started at the place where he worked, too, where he started his morning show. So it's just one of those interesting correlations. But you know what I always enjoyed about him was everybody that walks into his building confesses. That's where they come to talk about things because he had that gift. So
right.
That's why I see it there. You know, for me, the same thing with Oprah. Grown men go on Oprah's show and they cry. They just do it all the time because she is the greatest of all time. She got Mike Tyson to hug Evander Holyfield and they cried on her show after he ate Evander Holyfield's ear.
I mean, that's true.
I mean, seriously.
So you think she's the greatest interviewer of all time?
I do. I think that she is the most, like, you sit down with her and she's your mom, she's your friend, even if she's going to call you on it after. That's what I think.
I'll give you, she's amazing, but I also think that Barbara Walters might be the greatest of all time when it comes to that.
Got a little crazy for me at the end, Barbara.
Babs
got a little nuts at the end.
She's like your grandmother. You know, you sit her down and you can't lie to her. She's your grandma. You know,
who pulled the rug out from under you in every interview. That became her thing.
Mm.
Like she did the Matlock thing. She turned around like Law and Order in a courtroom on you on that one.
Surprise.
I can't trust her. Can't trust her. Bear Grylls, greatest survivalist with a British accent on TV that can also drink his urine on television.
Survivalist.
Best at that. Clearly the best of that.
Greatest marine biologist, definitely Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin.
Yes. Nobody would debate that.
May he live
on
forever.
Yeah, God rest his soul. How about this guy?
Who? What do you got?
It makes no sense. It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Johnny Cochran, got to be one of the greatest of all time lawyers. He got OJ off.
If I could raise him from the grave every time I had a speeding ticket or something like that, Johnny Cochran is by far the first name that you want.
Right.
I mean, the first name that, God rest your soul.
Yeah. Psychiatrist, Sigmund Freud. Freud. But everything we know is because of Freud, we think.
Well, right. We're still, I mean, does anybody really, have we cracked the code on psychology, by the way? I mean, I don't think like we have. Everything is just a theory, right?
Well.
His was the most interesting because everything had to do with sex.
And I think it, on that note.
That's why we remember him.
1-800-330-9999. Who's the greatest of all time in your profession or in any profession you think?
Right.
Give us a call now.
If you're a copy worker, if you're driving trucks for the DOT, who's the GOAT? I want to know.
Good stories, good thoughts, good news. In a world filled with negativity, it's time to tell Anna and Raven something good. Tell me something good. Star 99.9.
Imagine winning Food Network's Chop and not being able to tell anybody for an entire year. That's gotta stink.
It was a little tough. Really, what was hard was that I told people I was gonna be on the show, but I didn't know personally when it was gonna air. So dealing with them saying, when are you gonna be on? When are you gonna be on? That was the hard part. Wow. Other than that, I got a poker face, so I can keep that under wraps.
Eric Foligno is joining us today, Star 99.9. He won Food Network's Chop this past December, but really, you filmed it back in January.
I filmed it back in January 2017 or 18.
18.
Yeah, 2018.
So they used that $250,000 as ransom that you couldn't tell anybody?
I believe so. I mean, I didn't see the flag over my head, but I did sign paperwork. I did not read it all, but I did see the $250,000, and that scared me enough.
Right. To be fair, it's a lot of paperwork with that TV stuff. Any of those game shows or whatever, Anna, and the stuff they send you, and they do. They hold every dime right over. They said, no, screw this up. You don't get it.
So you don't get it. Do they pay you after it airs, or do they pay you right when you won?
They said that they would pay me after it aired, but I actually got paid in March, so I thought I missed the air date. And either way, I wasn't contacting anyone or saying anything because that 10 grand does not even hold up to any weight of that 250. So
right. You obviously know a lot about cooking. And did you know throughout the show that you thought that you were going to be the winner? How did that work?
I can honestly say everything's a surprise. From them telling you what kind of show it's going to be, they let me know right before I opened the basket that, okay, this is going to be a breakfast battle. So I didn't know that was going to happen. And then you open the breakfast basket and you go, or the mystery basket. So there's no time to know what you're doing. The first round was extremely difficult. I didn't didn't know where anything was in the kitchen. I felt like it was the first time I was cooking forever. Mm-hmm. You know, that my first time cooking again.
What am I doing here? I'm a failure.
Right. All my technique went out the window.
Right.
But after that first round, it was more comfortable. You know, you talk to the judges, you get over being filmed by like 50 camera crew people, and you start to know where things are in the kitchen. As things progressed, I started to feel a lot more comfortable, and it started going my way.
Get the swag on.
Yeah, it was going that way.
So sure. Eric owns 3 food trucks, 2 out of Bridgeport, 1 out of Fairfield. They're all called the Tasty Yolk. What are you guys making there?
We're making breakfast.
I mean, why did you bring us in right now?
I guess that's why they dropped me on the breakfast challenge, you know?
I mean, you couldn't bring a bacon, egg, and cheese for us?
Honestly, I wasn't even at the trucks today. I would have. I was at the restaurant doing some cooking stuff for some people.
Well, speaking of the restaurant, you're one of the chefs over at the Chelsea, right, in Fairfield?
Yeah, I'm the executive chef there at the Chelsea in Fairfield. Mm-hmm. Come up with all the menus, make everything happen over there.
Like, does this raise your clout on how cool you are because you have a Chopped championship under your belt? Like, do you have to demand more to get paid and things like that?
You get in every interview.
I'm doing a lot of interviews, but I'm still the same guy cooking the eggs on the side of the road, cooking the food at the Chelsea. I don't hold anything like that over my head. I just like what I'm doing. The experience for me is the ride. It's not really like, oh, you know, I'm this guy now. I get this and that. It's just been real fun.
He's still Jenny from the block, Anna.
And coming up this weekend, you're going to be hosting the Taste of Fairfield. It's happening at the Brooklawn Country Club, right?
Yeah, I'll be there this Sunday. I'll be showing some food that I'm going to be putting on the new menu at the Chelsea.
What are you making, just because I'm hungry?
I'm making a beef stew. It's a delicious beef stew. Mm-hmm. It's got some veggies in it, and the meat's nicely braised and super tender. And it's been a hit at the restaurant when I run it as a special. So I'm guessing it's probably going to be one of those rainy, dreary days, because that's what we're getting now this time of year. Mm. And it'll be nice to warm people up.
Sounds delicious. A little crusty, flaky bread on the side.
By the fireplace in a country club.
Inside that there's no food here.
We'll actually be at Taste of Fairfield this weekend, too. We got more info at star999.com. Eric, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
You're feeding me Sunday, man.